The Deep Range, first published in Argosy, the UK edition, April 1954, collected in Tales from Planet Earth.
The concept of whale herding is an idea whose time has not yet come, and I wonder if it ever will. Over the last decade, whales have had such excellent PR that most Europeans and Americans would soon eat dog or cat burgers. I did tackle whale meat once during World War II. It tasted like rather tough beef. In 1957, I expanded this story into the novel of the same name.
There was a killer loose on the range. A copter patrol 500 miles off Greenland had seen the great corpse staining the sea crimson as it wallowed in the waves. Within seconds, the intricate warning system had been altered. Men were plotting circles and moving counters on the North Atlantic chart, and Don Burley was still rubbing the sleep from his eyes as he dropped silently down to the 20-fathom line. The pattern of green lights on the telltale was a glowing symbol of security. As long as none of those emerald stars winked to red, all was well with Don and his tiny craft. Air, fuel, power, this was the triumvirate which ruled his life. If any of them failed, he would be sinking in a steel coffin down toward the pelagic ooze, as Johnny Tyndall had done the season before last. But there was no reason why they should fail. The accidents one foresaw, Don told himself reassuringly, were never the ones that happened. He leaned across the tiny control board and spoke into the mic. Sub 5 was still close enough to the mothership for radio to work, but before long he'd have to switch to the sonics. Setting course, 255, speed 50 knots, depth 20 fathoms, full sonar coverage. Estimated time to target area, 70 minutes. We'll report at 10-minute intervals. That is all. Out. The acknowledgement, already weakening with range, came back at once from the Herman Melville. Message received and understood. Good hunting. What about the hounds? Don chewed his lower lip thoughtfully. This might be a job he'd have to handle alone. He had no idea to within 50 miles either way where Benj and Susan were at the moment. They'd certainly follow if he signaled for them, but they couldn't maintain his speed and would soon have to drop behind. Besides, he might be heading for a pack of killers, and the last thing he wanted to do was to lead his carefully trained porpoises into trouble. That was common sense and good business. He was also very fond of Susan and Benj. "It's too far. I don't know what I'm running into," he replied. "If they're in the interception area when I get there, I may whistle them up." The acknowledgement from the mothership was barely audible, and Don switched off the set. It was time to look around. He dimmed the cabin light so that he could see the scanner screen more clearly, pulled the Polaroid glasses down over his eyes, and peered into the depths. This was the moment when Don felt like a god, able to hold within his hands a circle of the Atlantic 20 miles across, and to see clear down to the still unexplored depths, 3,000 fathoms below. The slowly rotating beam of inaudible sound was searching the world in which he floated, seeking out friend and foe in the eternal darkness where light could never penetrate. The pattern of soundless shrieks, too shrill even for the hearing of the bats who had invented sonar a million years before man, pulsed out in the watery night. The faint echoes came tingling back as floating blue-green flecks on the screen. Through long practice, Don could read their message with effortless ease. 1,000 feet below, stretching out to his submerged horizon, was the scattering layer, the blanket of life that covered half the world, the sunken meadow of the sea. It rose and fell with the passage of the sun, hovering always at the edge of darkness. But the ultimate depths were no concern of his. The flocks he guarded and the enemies who ravaged them belonged to the upper levels of the sea. Don flicked the switch of the depth selector, and his sonar beam concentrated itself into the horizontal plane. The glimmering echoes from the abyss vanished, but he could see more clearly what lay around him here in the ocean's stratospheric heights. That glowing cloud 2 miles ahead was a school of fish. He wondered if Bass knew about it and made an entry in his log. There were some larger, isolated blips at the edge of the school. The carnivores pursuing the cattle, ensuring that the endlessly turning wheel of life and death would never lose momentum. But this conflict was no affair of Don's. He was after bigger game. Sub 5 drove on toward the west, a steel needle swifter and more deadly than any.